Strategic stalemate, assessing perspectives of negotiations between Russia and Ukraine. An analytical view on whether the two sides should negotiate or continue mutually disastrous fighting. Chapter 1. Executive summary. The conflict between Ukraine and Russia, which began in 2014 with the annexation of Crimea and separatist uprisings in Luhansk and Donbass, escalated into a full-scale invasion by Russia in February 2022. This war has already caused massive loss of life, infrastructure damage, and worsened socioeconomic conditions in both countries, with significant global geopolitical implications. The Russo-Ukrainian war requires negotiations to end the conflict. International players, including major global powers, are heavily invested in the outcome, influencing both countries' strategic considerations. This research examines negotiation options using a structured framework based on negotiation theories by Robert Mukin and Gabriella Blum, analyzing interests, alternatives, potential outcomes, implementation likelihood, and associated costs. Earlier efforts and current status. By May 2024, indications emerged that Ukraine might engage in talks with Russia, but meaningful negotiations are not expected before late 2024 or early 2025. Past negotiations have failed due to disagreements, and both sides continue to prepare for talks from stronger positions. Despite planning a peace summit in June 2024, the likelihood of a near-term agreement remains low. Future negotiation prospects. Ukraine and Russia view negotiations as incentivizing the enemy, making talks currently unlikely. Significant changes in military or political circumstances, or external pressures from global powers, may eventually compel negotiations. Positions and prioritized interests. Ukraine demands the complete withdrawal of Russian troops, recognition of its pre-2014 borders, and compensation for war damages. Russia seeks Ukrainian neutrality, recognition of Crimea, and the independence of Donetsk and Luhansk. External players like the US, EU, China, and the Global South have their own strategic interests, impacting the negotiation dynamics. Best alternatives to a negotiated agreement, FATNA. Ukraine's alternatives include continued military engagement and leveraging international support. Russia's alternatives involve consolidating control over occupied territories and using economic leverage. Both face significant risks and limitations, influenced by the strategic interests of external players. Potential gains and losses from a negotiated agreement. Ukraine could gain from ceasing hostilities, territorial recovery, economic recovery, and humanitarian relief, but might lose political sovereignty and territorial integrity. Russia could benefit from lifting sanctions, securing territorial claims, and reducing military expenditures, but risks perceived weakness and unfulfilled broader geopolitical aims. The US, EU, China, and Global South also have significant potential gains and losses, making negotiations strategically important. Likelihood of agreement implementation. Ukraine has a high likelihood of implementing an agreement due to strong motivations and Western support, but faces internal challenges. Russia's likelihood is moderate, with motivations tempered by a history of non-compliance and domestic hardliners. The US, EU, and China show high likelihoods due to strategic interests, while the Global South has a moderate likelihood influenced by economic dependencies and neutrality pressures. An overall assessment of the implementation likelihood is, however, positive once the negotiations commence. Costs of negotiations. Ukraine and Russia face high costs, including political, financial, and humanitarian dimensions. The US and EU also face substantial costs but find them acceptable given their strategic interests. China's costs are moderate and manageable, while the Global South faces high economic and humanitarian costs. Zone of Potential Agreement, ZOPA. Finding common ground requires identifying concessions without compromising core interests of the parties. Potential ZOPA elements include ceasefires, international peacekeeping, economic aid, and long-term negotiation frameworks balancing the interests of Ukraine, Russia, and external powers. Strategic stalemate and the role of external powers. Currently, neither side is ready to compromise, creating a strategic stalemate. External mediation by global powers, particularly the US and China, is essential for meaningful negotiations. Historical precedents like Korea and Germany provide useful frameworks for potential resolutions. Scenarios. Potential scenarios include a Korean-style ceasefire, a German-style comprehensive peace plan, a hybrid approach, continued stalemate, or a comprehensive peace plan mediated by global powers, with the latter being the most plausible.
The analysis concludes that peace negotiations are inevitable but highly challenging. External mediation is crucial for a sustainable resolution, with a comprehensive peace plan mediated by global powers offering the best opportunity to end hostilities and stabilize the region.
The process will be complex.
Significant international pressure and internal management will be needed in order to reach and then implement any potential negotiated agreement.
Chapter 2. Introduction. Ukraine and Russia have been engaged in armed conflict for the past decade.
In 2014, two regions, Luhansk and Donbass, effectively broke away from Ukraine through separatist uprisings, while Russia openly annexed the Crimean Peninsula following a staged and internationally unrecognized referendum. What started as clandestine Russian support for separatists and a virtually bloodless annexation of Crimea has evolved into an all-out, large-scale invasion in February 2022. Hundreds of thousands of lives have been lost on both sides, massive destruction of infrastructure and the industrial base has continued to escalate while social and economic conditions have worsened drastically in both countries. The geopolitical ramifications of this conflict have major impacts on nearly all global powers, while its historical consequences are yet to be studied and assessed. It is known that all wars end through negotiations, albeit sometimes through capitulation, which is nonetheless a form of negotiation.
The Russo-Ukrainian War is unlikely to be an exception to this rule. Both sides will need to engage in talks to negotiate an end to the bloodshed. Numerous international players, including major global powers, have vested interests in this conflict.
Their influence on the process and the overall situation is essential for both countries in their strategic considerations whether to negotiate or continue the war. The following research examines some options for the negotiations between Russia and Ukraine, focusing on various aspects of the conflict, the involvement of external players, and the forces shaping the geopolitical landscape. The analysis employs a structured framework inspired by the negotiation theories of two Harvard professors, Robert Mukin and Gabriella Blum, which considers prioritized interests, best alternatives to a negotiated agreement, BATNA, potential outcomes, agreement implementation, and the costs for all sides associated with negotiations. The analysis incorporates perspectives from various global stakeholders, including the United States, the European Union, and China, reflecting their strategic interests and potential influences on the conflict's resolution. The methodology involves a review of current geopolitical analyses, policy documents, and international responses to the conflict to provide a broad understanding of the negotiation potential dynamics and the probable regional implications.
Chapter 3. Earlier efforts and the current status.
By May 2024, some indications transpired that Ukraine may eventually engage in talks with Russia to bring an end to their ongoing conflict, which has lasted over 2 years.
A so-called peace summit is planned in Geneva, Switzerland. However, any meaningful negotiations cannot begin before the second half of 2024, first quarter of 2025 at the earliest, as both sides are currently maneuvering for the most favorable position before any potential talks.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has consistently rejected the idea of talks with the Kremlin, and a decree he issued following Russia's formal annexation of four Ukrainian regions in 2022 declared negotiations impossible.
Russian President Vladimir Putin and other senior Russian officials have accused Ukraine of obstructing any efforts to settle the conflict.
Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov stated that the June conference could not be considered a serious conference with serious expectations of some kind of results without Russia's participation. Nonetheless, it appears that the goal of a peace summit scheduled for mid-June 2024 in Switzerland is to unite countries sharing similar principles and approaches, and that communication with Russia may follow after the summit. Despite the existing tensions, Zelensky has described the June meeting as practically the first real chance to start restoring a just peace, emphasizing the importance of Ukraine's strong positions on the battlefield, in diplomacy, and in the information sphere to prepare for the negotiations. According to various sources and opinions of senior officials in Ukraine, the likelihood of a peace agreement being reached between Russia and Ukraine in the near future appears low, despite some indications that talks may eventually occur. The following is a brief timeline of developments towards the possibility of peace negotiations.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has issued a decree in 2022 following Russia's annexation of Ukrainian regions declared negotiations impossible.
In 2022, Ukraine and Russia did engage in substantial peace negotiations in the weeks after Russia's invasion began.
By late March 2022, a draft agreement was close to being finalized.
However, the talks ultimately broke down for various reasons, including disagreements over Crimea and the Donbas region. In February 2024, Ukraine hinted at the possibility of inviting Russia to a future peace summit to discuss ending the war on Kyiv's terms. However, the Kremlin has said there is no current basis for peace talks and that Ukraine's peace plan was absurd because it excluded Russia. In May 2024, a senior Ukrainian intelligence official, Major General Vadim Skibitsky, suggested that Ukraine will eventually need to engage in negotiations with Russia to end the conflict, which has already lasted over 2 years. However, he believes meaningful negotiations cannot begin before the second half of 2025 at the earliest. The failure of the 2022 talks and the continued military stalemate since then have reduced the prospects for a negotiated settlement in the near term. Neither side appears to be willing to make the necessary concessions for a compromise peace at this stage of the conflict. Chapter 4. Perspectives of the talks in the future, the assessment. Part 1. The backdrop. Should there be a negotiation between Russia and Ukraine? Ukraine and the Western world's leaders face this question since the inception of Russia's full-scale invasion in February 2022. Russia has blatantly violated Ukrainian sovereignty, attacked and annexed major parts of its territory, continues bombing and shelling its cities, inducing death and destruction. Both sides see each other as untrustworthy and evil party. Negotiation is seen as something that incentivizes the enemy, which gets, or might get, what he wants, so any talks would reward the enemy for bad behavior. Each side strongly wishes vindication, and the very idea of negotiating with the adversary seems wrong. The public debate in both countries resembles a harsh ideological clash. It smacks of smug moralism and religious fundamentalism. It has religious overtones connected with notions of sin. In Ukraine, there is a widespread sentiment that negotiating with Russia would be akin to conceding defeat and betraying those who have suffered and died in the conflict. The Russians are called orcs, referring to the dark army of aggressive, ugly, and human-eating race of monsters from the Lord of the Rings sequel. In Russia, the state propaganda often portrays Ukraine and its allies as existential threats, fascist, nationalistic, and abominate people with pervert homosexual tendencies, making any concession appear as weakness or capitulation. As it looks today, the peace talks between Russia and Ukraine are unlikely in 2024 or even the first half of 2025. For serious negotiations to occur, significant changes in the military situation or political calculations on one or both sides would be necessary. Alternatively, external forces such as the United States, the European Union, or China might compel one or both sides to negotiate. Part 2. Model and methodology. As was noted above, both Ukraine and Russia, which are actually involved in the armed conflict, perceive each other as evil. However, this is just a perception, something that a detached observer might disagree. As the experience demonstrates, demonization of the enemy can get in the way of strategizing clearly. To avoid analytical and emotional pitfalls, this research employs Mnookin and Bloom's framework for assessing the feasibility of negotiations for both Russia and Ukraine, which covers their prioritized interests, best alternatives to a negotiated agreement, BATNA, potential outcomes, and the costs of negotiation for each side, including the resources expended and potential downsides of any agreement. Moreover, such approach would allow weighing in the strategic interests of external parties such as the USA, EU, China, and the so-called Global South. Mnookin and Bloom's framework provides a structured approach to negotiation in high-stakes situations, even with difficult counterparts. The following is a breakdown of the key analytical elements. Prioritized interests. This involves identifying the most crucial needs and goals of each party in the negotiation. What are they absolutely unwilling to compromise on? What are their secondary concerns? Best alternative to a negotiated agreement, BATNA. This refers to the most favorable outcome each side can achieve if no agreement is reached. A strong BATNA strengthens the negotiating position. Potential outcomes. This step involves exploring the entire spectrum of possible outcomes from negotiations, ranging from highly favorable to completely unsuccessful. Considering all possibilities does help in formulating realistic expectations. Agreement implementation. This focuses on the practicalities of putting any negotiated agreement into action. How will it be monitored and enforced? What are the potential challenges in implementation? Costs of negotiation. This involves considering the resources, time, money, etc., expended in the negotiation process itself, as well as the potential downsides of any agreement, e.g., concessions made or even reputational damages.
The following is the result of the analysis based on the above framework. Chapter 5. Positions and prioritized interests. The conflict between Russia and Ukraine involves deeply entrenched positions and complex interests from both sides and external players. Russia demands that Ukraine cease military actions, adopt constitutional neutrality, recognize Crimea as Russian territory, and acknowledge the independence of the separatist republics of Donetsk and Luhansk.
Ukraine insists on the complete withdrawal of Russian troops, international security guarantees, recognition of its pre-2014 borders, and compensation for war damages. Russia's underlying interests include maintaining and expanding regional influence, preventing NATO's expansion, ensuring strategic security, and lifting economic sanctions to stabilize its economy.
Control over Crimea is crucial for its strategic access to the Black Sea, and support for separatist regions helps destabilize Ukraine and prevent its integration into Western institutions. Ukraine's primary interests focus on maintaining territorial integrity, upholding sovereignty, ensuring the safety and security of its citizens, and achieving economic stability.
These interests are driven by the need to rebuild its economy, restore infrastructure, and reduce dependency on foreign aid. External players like the United States, European Union, China, and the Global South have their own strategic interests in the conflict. The United States seeks to demonstrate global leadership, contain Russian influence, support NATO and European security, and ensure economic and energy stability. The European Union prioritizes regional stability, energy security, upholding international law, and economic stability. China aims to maintain global stability for economic growth, balance its relations with Russia and the West, ensure access to resources, and expand its geopolitical influence. The Global South focuses on maintaining economic stability, securing access to essential resources, balancing international relations, and obtaining development aid without being drawn into conflict. Despite significant contradictions, some common grounds exist, such as the shared interest in global stability and economic recovery. However, fundamental clashes remain, particularly regarding regional influence, territorial integrity, and Ukraine's sovereignty and alliances.
Analysis of the interests.
Although the interests of Russia, Ukraine, the United States, the European Union, China, and the Global South in the ongoing conflict have significant contradictions, there are also potential common or at least partially common grounds, which can be used for starting the process of negotiations.
Common grounds. Global stability. All parties share an interest in maintaining global stability. This is essential for economic growth, international trade, and regional security. Ensuring a stable international environment benefits all actors by preventing the conflict from escalating further and disrupting global markets. Economic stability. There is a mutual interest in stabilizing the global economy. This includes supporting economic recovery and reconstruction efforts, particularly in Ukraine. Economic stability is crucial for rebuilding infrastructure, attracting investment, and ensuring the well-being of population affected by the conflict. Partially common grounds. Strategic security.
While Russia and Ukraine have directly opposite views on security, there is a partially common interest in establishing security guarantees to prevent further escalation.
External actors like the United States, the European Union, and China seek to balance these concerns to maintain global stability.
They aim to provide security assurances that could satisfy both Russia's need for strategic security and Ukraine's demand for protection against aggression.
Global leadership/stability. Russia aims to restore its status as a global power, while other actors seek to maintain or promote international stability and uphold international law. Although their methods differ, the shared goal of stability creates overlapping interests.
External powers are keen to prevent the conflict from undermining global order and are interested in demonstrating leadership in managing international crises.
Contradictions. Regional influence. Russia's goal to expand its regional influence directly opposes Ukraine's intentions to maintain sovereignty and prevent Russian dominance.
The United States and the European Union support Ukraine in countering Russian expansion, leading to a fundamental clash of interests.
Territorial integrity. Russia's control over Crimea and its support for separatist regions contradict Ukraine's objective to restore its territorial integrity.
The United States and the European Union back Ukraine's territorial claims, creating a significant point of contention. Russia's annexation of Crimea and involvement in the Donbas region are viewed as illegal by Ukraine and its Western allies. Sovereignty and alliances. Russia demands Ukrainian neutrality and opposes Ukraine's aspirations to join NATO and the European Union. In contrast, Ukraine seeks full control over its political and economic future, including the right to choose its alliances. The United States and the European Union support Ukraine's ambitions, leading to a stark opposition between Russia and the Western Bloc. Chapter 6. Best Alternatives to a Negotiated Agreement, BATNA. Analysis of the best alternatives to a negotiated agreement, BATNA, for Russia and Ukraine reveals their strategic positions and potential leverage points. It also defines inherent risks and challenges each of them faces. Ukraine's alternatives involve continued military engagement, leveraging international support to maintain and increase sanctions on Russia, and focusing on internal economic stability and resilience. However, these strategies face significant challenges. Sustained military engagement risks depleting resources, escalating the conflict, and facing potential fluctuations in Western support. Diplomatic efforts to isolate Russia depend on maintaining international consensus, which could weaken over time due to economic impacts on sanctioning countries. Strengthening economic resilience is heavily reliant on international aid, which is vulnerable to global economic shifts and domestic implementation issues during ongoing conflict. Russia's alternatives include persisting in military operations to consolidate control over occupied territories, using economic leverage through energy supplies to create divisions among European countries, and strengthening alliances with non-Western nations to counterbalance sanctions and diplomatic pressure. However, prolonged conflict risks leading to a military stalemate, increased casualties, and domestic backlash. European diversification away from Russian energy sources reduces Russia's economic leverage, and geopolitical shifts in competing interests among allies complicate efforts to strengthen international alliances. The strategic alternatives of external players such as the United States, European Union, China, and the Global South further shape the negotiation dynamics. The US and EU focus on providing military aid to Ukraine, maintaining economic sanctions on Russia, and ensuring diplomatic unity. These strategies face challenges from resource constraints, political will, and alliance fatigue. China balances economic engagements with both sides while positioning itself as a mediator, facing potential disruptions from sanctions and global economic instability. The Global South maintains neutrality, advocating for peaceful resolution and securing development aid, while navigating pressures from major powers and economic dependencies. BATNA analysis demonstrated significant risks and limitations for both Russia and Ukraine in their current strategies, which are shaped by the influential roles of external players. Chapter 7. Potential gains and losses from a negotiated agreement. The potential for gains and losses from a negotiated settlement in the Russia-Ukraine conflict is a major factor for all parties involved. Ukraine could achieve significant gains through negotiations, which might include the cessation of fire, partial territorial and economic recovery, as well as so sought for humanitarian relief. However, potential losses include compromising on territorial integrity and political sovereignty, such as accepting the loss of Crimea or parts of Donbas and committing to neutrality. The immediate humanitarian and economic benefits are substantial, making the overall gains more obvious despite the sovereignty compromises. Russia stands to gain from the lifting of sanctions, securing territorial claims, and reducing military expenditures. Nonetheless, potential losses include perceived weakness and failure to achieve broader geopolitical aims. While the immediate economic and strategic benefits are clear, the potential strategic losses from perceived weakness and limited future ambitions are significant, making the overall assessment slightly more balanced but still leaning towards gains. The U.S. could stabilize global markets, reaffirm international law, and strengthen alliances through successful negotiations. However, potential losses include compromising on strategic goals, such as NATO expansion, and facing domestic criticism. The substantial gains in global leadership and strategic stability outweigh the potential geopolitical and domestic political costs, resulting in a net positive gain. The EU could benefit from regional stability, energy security, and economic relief from a negotiated peace. Potential losses include internal political divisions and perceived weakness in upholding European values. Despite these challenges, the significant gains in regional stability and economic recovery make the overall outcome more favorable. China could enhance its global role, stabilize trade relations, and secure resource access through successful mediation. However, potential losses include diplomatic balancing challenges and increased pressure from the West. The economic and diplomatic gains from increased global influence and secure resource access outweigh the potential diplomatic disruptions, resulting in a net positive gain.
The Global South could achieve economic stability, refocus on development, and reinforce a neutral stance.
Potential losses include pressure from major powers, economic dependency risks, and aid diversion. The significant gains in maintaining neutrality, economic benefits, and development focus outweigh these challenges, leading to a more favorable outcome. All parties appear to gain more than they lose from a negotiated settlement, highlighting the strategic importance of pursuing negotiations. However, the likelihood of implementing any agreements reached remains a critical factor to consider. As the brief analysis above demonstrated, it appears that all sides would gain more than lose should the negotiations materialize. This, however, is subject to the likelihood of eventual implementation of any agreements that could be reached during the negotiations.
Chapter 8.
Likelihood of potential agreement implementation. When assessing the likelihood of implementing a negotiated agreement between Ukraine and Russia, factors such as trustworthiness, enforcement mechanisms, and realpolitik considerations must be evaluated. This analysis covers Ukraine, Russia, and key external players, highlighting the practical aspects and potential challenges each party faces in honoring and implementing any agreements reached.
Ukraine
is highly motivated to end the conflict, regain territory, and secure international aid, but faces challenges from nationalist factions and public opinion. Effective safeguards and enforcement mechanisms include clear penalties for non-compliance, third-party enforcement by international bodies like OSCE or UN, and binding arbitration processes.
Continuous diplomatic engagement, economic pressure, and international peacekeeping presence enhance compliance. President Zelensky's strong mandate and Western support increase the likelihood of implementation, though nationalist factions and public opinion could present obstacles. Assessment of implementation likelihood. High.
Russia seeks to lift sanctions, secure territorial claims, and reduce military expenditures, but has a history of non-compliance and faces challenges from domestic hardliners. Enforcement mechanisms such as reimposition of sanctions, international monitoring, and arbitration processes are crucial.
Diplomatic engagement with global powers and economic pressure via sanctions are vital for compliance.
President Putin's control over politics and media can aid in framing agreements favorably, despite resistance from military hardliners.
Assessment of implementation likelihood. Moderate. United States.
The U.S. aims to maintain global leadership, support Ukraine, and manage strategic interests, but faces challenges from domestic political divisions. Penalties for non-performance, international enforcement mechanisms, and legal frameworks support compliance.
Continuous diplomatic engagement, economic pressure through aid and sanctions, and military support for Ukraine are key.
Bipartisan support and public opinion influence U.S. actions, with strategic interests enhancing the likelihood of implementing agreements.
Assessment of implementation likelihood. High. European Union.
The EU seeks regional stability, energy security, and economic recovery, but faces challenges from differing national interests.
Economic sanctions, EU monitoring missions, and judicial mechanisms ensure compliance. Diplomatic engagement, economic pressure, and potential EU force deployment are crucial.
Political unity and economic considerations among member states impact the likelihood of enforcement and compliance.
Assessment of implementation likelihood. High. China. China aims to maintain economic stability, enhance its diplomatic standing, and secure resource access, but must balance relations with both Russia and the West.
Economic penalties, international enforcement, and arbitration bodies are essential.
Leveraging global influence, economic incentives, and potential peacekeeping participation support compliance. Economic dependencies and domestic stability concerns influence China's approach. Assessment of implementation likelihood. High. Global South.
Countries in the Global South seek neutrality, economic stability, and development aid but face pressure from major powers. Diplomatic and economic penalties, international monitoring, and legal frameworks ensure compliance.
Balancing relations with major powers and ensuring development support are key. Economic dependencies and development needs present challenges to maintaining a neutral stance. Assessment of implementation likelihood. moderate.
An overall assessment suggests that despite the varying likelihoods of implementing a negotiated agreement among the involved parties, honoring the agreements is still very likely for all sides.
Ukraine and the European Union have high implementation likelihoods due to strong motivations and the established support mechanisms.
The United States and China also show high likelihoods because of their strategic interests and global influence. Russia and the Global South, although having moderate likelihoods caused by significant internal and external challenges impacting their commitment to compliance, are also likely to follow the eventual agreements.
Chapter 9. Costs of negotiations. The potential negotiations between Ukraine and Russia involve multifaceted costs for all parties, encompassing financial, reputational, diplomatic, human, and political dimensions.
These costs, particularly in terms of political reputation and legitimacy, are critical in shaping each party's decision-making process.
Ukraine faces significant political and reputational costs.
The internal pressure from nationalist factions and public opinion demanding no territorial concessions is substantial. Financially, continuous military spending and economic instability are major concerns.
Reputationally, any perceived compromise could be seen as a betrayal by the public, weakening the government's legitimacy.
Diplomatically, strained alliances and negotiation fatigue are risks. Humanitarian costs include the ongoing crisis and fragmented social cohesion.
Assessment:
high costs, but manageable with strong international support and careful internal management.
Russia's costs are primarily political and reputational.
Maintaining domestic legitimacy while facing international pressure and sanctions is challenging.
Financially, the impact of economic sanctions and high military spending is significant.
Reputationally, maintaining a positive domestic image and avoiding perceived weakness internationally is critical.
Diplomatic costs include increased global isolation and strained strategic alliances. Humanitarian costs involve high casualties and economic hardships affecting the broader population.
Assessment: high costs, but manageable with tight domestic control and strategic concessions.
United States: the U.S. faces substantial financial and diplomatic costs.
Continuous aid to Ukraine represents a significant expenditure, and global instability affects the U.S. economy. Politically, maintaining bipartisan support and managing domestic opinion on foreign intervention are crucial. Diplomatically, managing alliance strain and balancing geopolitical focus are key challenges.
Humanitarian costs involve potential military involvement and responsibilities.
Assessment: high costs, but acceptable given strategic interests and global leadership role.
European Union: the EU's costs are significant, particularly in financial and humanitarian terms. Economic sanctions impact EU economies, and supporting Ukrainian refugees is a substantial burden.
Politically, balancing internal interests and maintaining unity are challenges.
Reputationally, cohesion challenges and potential compromises on human rights issues affect the EU's standing.
Diplomatically, internal divisions and reduced global influence are risks.
Assessment:
high costs, but manageable with adequate commitment of resources and political will.
China's
costs are moderate but require careful management.
Trade disruptions and balancing economic relationships with both Russia and the West are financial challenges.
Maintaining a neutral stance while navigating international pressures impacts China's global image and strategic initiatives like the Belt and Road.
Domestically, economic impacts of the conflict can affect stability.
Diplomatically, balancing relations with major powers is crucial.
Assessment:
medium costs, manageable through economic strength and strategic diplomacy.
Global South:
the Global South faces high costs, particularly in economic and humanitarian terms. Economic instability and diversion of development aid are significant financial challenges.
Politically, maintaining neutrality while managing internal and external pressures is complex.
Reputationally, the credibility of a non-alignment stance and global influence are at stake.
Humanitarian costs involve food and energy crises impacting populations.
Assessment:
high costs, but manageable with continued diplomatic engagement and strategic balancing.
The costs associated with negotiations are high for Ukraine and Russia but can be managed with strong internal control and international support.
For the United States and the European Union,
the costs are substantial but acceptable given their strategic interests. China's costs are moderate and manageable through its economic strength and diplomatic strategies. The Global South faces high costs but can manage them with careful diplomacy and strategic partnerships.
Chapter 9.
Zone of Potential Agreement, ZOPA, for Ukraine-Russia negotiations. Having defined the interests, best alternatives, potential gains, prospects of implementation and costs of the negotiations between Russia and Ukraine with the international mediation, and assuming that the negotiations would eventually take place, it is important to understand what could be the so-called zone of potential agreement, ZOPA, that both sides would find acceptable. Given the entrenched positions of both Ukraine and Russia, finding a zone of possible agreement requires identifying areas where concessions can be made without compromising core national interests. Moreover, ZOPA should incorporate the interests of external forces, namely the United States, the European Union, China, and the Global South, whose involvement is crucial in mediating and potentially enforcing any agreement.
First, the red lines or core non-negotiable positions must be clearly understood.
Russia has incorporated occupied Ukrainian territories, Crimea, Luhansk, Donetsk, Kherson, and parts of Zaporizhia and Dnipro, into its constitutional territory, making their return to Ukraine legally impossible and non-negotiable.
Ukraine insists on the restoration of its territorial integrity, including the return of all occupied territories, referring to the border of 1991. Now, what can be agreed upon beyond the obvious and immediate matters such as ceasefire and stopping to damage critical infrastructures in both countries? It is essential to consider the overlapping interests and potential concessions that both sides might realistically consider and eventually agree upon.
Potential ZOPA elements.
Despite the apparent impasse, several potential areas for negotiation can be identified that align with the strategic interests of both parties and external forces.
The following elements could form the basis of a ZOPA. Part 1. Ceasefire and demilitarized zones. Ukraine
gains immediate cessation of hostilities and stabilization of front lines, reducing further destruction and loss of life.
Russia
maintains control over currently held territories without immediate recognition, allowing a de facto situation that can be revisited in future negotiations.
External forces.
The US and EU support a ceasefire to prevent further escalation, while China supports stability to protect its economic interests and international standing.
Part 2. International peacekeeping and monitoring. Ukraine
ensures that any ceasefire is maintained and reduces the risk of renewed Russian offensives.
Russia gains international legitimacy for its security concerns while allowing external monitors.
External forces. The EU and US provide logistical and financial support for peacekeeping operations, ensuring compliance and building trust.
China and the countries of the Global South work with both Russia and Ukraine to create additional communication channels and modes of cooperation.
Part 3. Economic and humanitarian aid.
Ukraine receives substantial economic aid for reconstruction and humanitarian assistance to alleviate the immediate crisis.
Russia
potentially benefits from partial easing of sanctions, specifically those that impede humanitarian aid and economic stability.
External forces.
The EU and US lead reconstruction efforts, while China contributes financially and seeks economic opportunities in post-conflict reconstruction.
Part 3. Temporary administrative arrangements.
Ukraine
accepts temporary administrative control arrangements for the occupied regions, under international supervision, without ceding sovereignty.
Russia maintains administrative control in practice, satisfying domestic political imperatives.
External forces.
The US, EU, and China support these arrangements as a pragmatic step to prevent further conflict while laying the groundwork for future negotiations.
Part 4. Long-term negotiations framework.
Ukraine
agrees to a structured negotiation process that includes security guarantees and potential pathways for the future status of contested regions.
Russia
participates in long-term negotiations that could potentially lead to internationally recognized solutions, ensuring its strategic interests are safeguarded.
External forces.
The US, EU, and China act as guarantors of the negotiation process, providing diplomatic support and pressure to ensure adherence to agreed frameworks. In reality, the most likely scenario will involve a combination of ceasefire agreements, international peacekeeping, economic and humanitarian aid, and a framework for long-term negotiations. Such approach would align with the interests of Ukraine, Russia, and the external powers. This combination can be also divided in terms of timelines. Short term, a ceasefire in demilitarized zones monitored by international peacekeepers, coupled with economic and humanitarian aid, can provide immediate relief and stability. Medium term, temporary administrative arrangements under international supervision can help manage in contested regions without forcing either side to concede on core territorial claims. Long term, a structured negotiation process with security guarantees and the potential for future status resolution supported by major global powers will ensure a sustainable peace.
Chapter 10. Strategic stalemate, the Gordian knot that must be cut.
Notwithstanding the analysis above, it appears that right now neither Russia nor Ukraine is ready for any compromises on their fundamental demands, which in their national views, must be met prior to any talks.
Against such a backdrop, the overall setting for the negotiations is unfavorable.
It is a strategic stalemate with neither of the parties being ready to give up even the tiniest item from their lists of demands. And yet, neither side can afford to continue the war indefinitely.
Hence, there will be talks eventually. The question is how they might occur, and what should happen to push the two sides to sit down at the negotiation table and look at each other equally.
This situation resembles a Gordian knot, a complex and seemingly unsolvable problem that requires a bold and decisive solution to cut through the impasse. The backdrop and context restrict the options of how this can be resolved. The only tangible route is intervention and mediation by external global powers, who can persuade the sides to engage in meaningful dialogue. Given the global division over the conflict in Ukraine, with the USA and the West supporting Ukraine, and China and the global South leaning towards Russia, a limited number of ways for handling the situation remain. International mediation by these powerful entities is absolutely critical for negotiations.
The historical precedents of Korea and Germany offer useful frameworks.
While the complete replication of either scenario in Ukraine is unfeasible, some models can be conjectured along their general lines. For instance, a ceasefire along current front lines like the Korean Armistice Agreement, combined with long-term negotiations involving all stakeholders similar to the 2+4 agreement that led to German reunification, could provide a pathway forward. External powers will ensure compliance, provide guarantees in supporting reconstruction efforts to create a sustainable and peaceful resolution to the conflict.
Ironically, the two Koreas continue existing while two Germanys united into one, the modern-day Germany.
As already indicated, given the current dynamics, the resolution likely lies beyond the capabilities of the warring parties alone.
It requires the intervention and mediation of major global powers. Chapter 11. Scenarios.
The following are potential scenarios for the negotiations and parallel activities with first order, second order, and third order effects, which would allow monitoring the process and intervening if and when necessary.
Part 1. Korean scenario. Description.
A ceasefire agreement that effectively freezes the conflict along the current front lines, establishing a demilitarized zone.
First order effect. Both nations cease active hostilities and fortify their positions. Second order effect. Focus shifts to internal development and reconstruction. Third order effect.
Long-term stability with potential future negotiations on political status.
Part 2. German scenario. Description.
A multilateral agreement involving detailed negotiations on security guarantees, economic aid, and potential political integration or reunification under specified conditions.
First order effect. Immediate cessation of hostilities and establishment of a framework for future cooperation. Second order effect. Robust international oversight and economic rebuilding efforts. Third order effect. Gradual political and economic integration, potentially leading to reunification. Part 3. Hybrid/combined scenario. Description.
A phased approach combining elements of both the Korean and German scenarios. Initially establishes a ceasefire and demilitarized zone, followed by long-term negotiations on political and economic integration.
First order effect. Ceasefire and establishment of a demilitarized zone. Second order effect. Initiation of multilateral talks on comprehensive peace agreements. Third order effect. Incremental progress towards political and economic stability. Part 4. Continued stalemate with intermittent talks. Description. Sporadic negotiations with limited progress, leading to a protracted conflict with intermittent ceasefires and renewed fighting. First order effect.
Persistent low-intensity conflict with periodic escalations.
Second-order effect. Continued humanitarian crisis and economic strain. Third-order effect. Potential for increased international involvement and pressure for a more decisive resolution. Part 5. External mediation and comprehensive peace plan, the Chinese peace plan. Description. Mediation led by global powers like China and the United States, promoting a comprehensive peace plan addressing core issues and ensuring long-term stability. First-order effect. International diplomatic pressure leading to initial ceasefire and peace talks. Second-order effect. Implementation of economic and security guarantees, and phased reduction of hostilities. Third-order effect. Establishment of a sustainable peace framework and potential regional stability. Given the current strategic stalemate and the significant influence of global powers, the most plausible path to resolving the conflict between Ukraine and Russia lies in a comprehensive peace plan facilitated by external mediation, particularly involving the United States and China. The scenario 5, i.e. external mediation and comprehensive peace plan, seems most realistic. This conclusion is based on several key considerations. Intractable positions. Both Ukraine and Russia have shown little willingness to compromise on their core demands, creating a strategic stalemate that neither can sustain indefinitely. Role of global powers. The involvement of the United States, China, and the EU is critical. The United States and its allies have a vested interest in supporting Ukraine in countering Russian aggression, while China, with its strategic interests and influence, can play a crucial mediating role. Historical precedents. The examples of Korea and Germany demonstrate the effectiveness of third-party mediation in achieving long-term stability, even if the initial agreements do not fully resolve all issues. Current diplomatic efforts. The Chinese peace plan, though initially broad and criticized for its vagueness, reflects an active interest in mediation. This plan calls for a ceasefire, resumption of peace talks, and addressing humanitarian crises, supporting the need for an internationally supported solution. Feasibility and practicality. External mediation offers a practical pathway to de-escalation, leveraging the diplomatic and economic influence of global powers to enforce and sustain a peace agreement. This approach can address the immediate need for a ceasefire while doing the groundwork for longer-term stability and eventual reconstruction. Chapter 12. Conclusion. The conflict between Russia and Ukraine will continue for some time regardless of potential commencement of peace talks. It remains a deeply imprinted in national psyche in both countries. The research concludes that meaningful peace negotiations between Russia and Ukraine, while currently improbable, are eventually inevitable. The entrenched positions of both nations, Ukraine's insistence on the restoration of its territorial integrity and Russia's demand for Ukrainian neutrality and recognition of annexed territories, create a strategic stalemate that neither side can indefinitely sustain. Despite these formidable challenges, the most plausible scenario for conflict resolution involves external mediation by major global powers. The involvement of the United States, European Union, and China is essential in facilitating negotiations, providing security guarantees, and supporting economic reconstruction. Support in second-tier mediation of the Global South countries will be another important factor in Russian and Ukrainian strategic calculations. After all, neither Russia nor Ukraine wishes to antagonize the entire world, and therefore, the talks are inevitable eventually. A potential peace framework would likely include a ceasefire, the establishment of demilitarized zones, possibly international peacekeeping forces, and phased negotiations on contentious issues. While the resolution of the conflict's underlying issues may be gradual, external mediation offers a viable mechanism to initiate and sustain the peace process. Drawing from historical precedents such as the Korean and German scenarios, any sustainable peace after the talks and eventual agreement will also require a combination of long-term diplomatic engagement and significant international oversight. Therefore, the most likely outcome is a comprehensive peace plan mediated by global powers, balancing the strategic interests of Ukraine, Russia, and the international community. This approach, though fraught with challenges, provides the best opportunity to end the hostilities and lay the groundwork for a stable and secure future for the region. So the original question, will there be a negotiation? Yes, without a doubt there will be negotiation. However, this is set to be a painful process with bitter arguments and international pressure on both sides. Moreover, the external powers are likely to engage in their own process of negotiation as to how to handle various scenarios in coming months and years. The negotiation will be long and multidimensional. There will be numerous subgroups and sub-issues that such subgroups would need to discuss and find common grounds.
There will be disagreements and accusations, as well as individual political figures, possibly even military commanders who would refuse to comply with political decisions.
Another alternative, a dark scenario of complete collapse of Ukrainian defenses and Russian victory.
The consequences of such turn of events are hard to estimate, but one thing is for sure: if materialized, it will become another dark page in history of the European continent, Slavic peoples, and of the entire globe.
The world will never be the same, ever.